My name is Frank Gilfeather. I'm 78. I remember coaching a couple of, I don't know, they'd be 13 or 14 year old boys. And I'm saying, come on, guys, you need to do this and do that. And I remember one of them said to me, did you box? And I said, yeah, I boxed when I was young, well, right through to senior level. And they said, how many fights did you have? And I said, give or take 200. And they went, yeah, sure, you know. And I said, no, you don't understand. Nowadays, an amateur boxer is lucky if he gets 3 fights a year, you know. But we were boxing 3 fights in a one night. Now, of course, that's unthinkable. Guys go, what? You know, 3 fights maybe in 3 weeks. Yes, that's okay. There's an easiness in some of the approach by some young boxers now, and they think, they come into the gym and think, you've only got 90 minutes. Give it everything. You leave the gym, you'll be feeling on top of the world. But I seen them tippy-tappy to him, and I said, come on, why are you? Just give it everything. You know, you want to go, you want to exhaust yourself. But these guys, lots of these guys, it's an easier time for them. They don't know what's gone before. God help them if they ever had to realise that or go to that era, if you like. But now they're gaming, they're, you know, it's all about the phone, texting, you know, filming this, filming that. And you think, can we just get on with it, you know, and do it? You know the good thing, and this is what taught me a great thing about boxing, through my dad, boxing is a family, right? Families fall out, sure. There's politics involved in all amateur sport, but at the heart of it all is that we care for each other. We have a respect for each other because we've been in the ring. I'm talking generally now. We've been in the ring. We've delivered punches onto somebody's nose. And we fed them back. And you know the great thing about boxing? You can go in there with the aim, naturally, to punch your fellow man, and you want to do damage, you want to win the contest, and when the final bell rings, ding, what do? You embrace. Right, there's the respect. That was a great fight. Some guy might have been beaten to blooming pulp, and he's saying to his opponent, that was a great fight, thanks very much. And they hug. And I think, I always think that's an amazing thing to do. You know, you would think there'd be anger. You'd think there'd be hatred there. But there's not. At the end of it all, you're pals, you're boxers. And that's a brilliant thing, I think. So the thing I think about is, if you respect your fellow man, then you're going down the right road, right? And I think what you've got to recognise is that in all walks of life, there are people less fortunate than you, right? And you've got to remember that. And I think the worst thing we can do sometimes is judge people on their appearance, judge people on what they say or what they wear or what they've done without actually knowing them. That kind of deep down kind of inner belief in other people was helpful to me in learning how you should behave in society and what society should mean to each other. I mean, be true to yourself, respect your fellow man, and just be everything you can be. And if you're not going to be a star in whatever field you choose, it doesn't matter. You're giving your best. Give your best every time if you can. and never let up on your values in life. The values that he taught me remain with me today, and I try to pass them down to my kids. You know, not by sitting them down and actually saying, right, this is value number one, you'll do this, value number... Just by example. Lead by example. And if you can do that, then I think you're doing a decent job.
I guess one of the big lessons in life for me was watching my father. His name was Dennis Gilfeather. He ran, over decades, he ran a series of boxing clubs, amateur boxing clubs. And his ethos was to take young boys, and it's pretty much the same just now, off the streets, and now young women, and give them something meaningful in their lives that kept them away from trouble, away from petty crime, and all the stuff that young kids at 14, 15, 16 would get up to. And it gave them a kind of feeling of belonging. I belong to, for instance, his first club, after the Camperdown Club, which was in the jute mill, in the canteen, we established, or he established, the Lochee Amateur Boxing Club. So what you got was, and I was 4 years old when I started to go along there and kind of take part in the training, but for me it was a learning thing. It was the smell of the sweat, it was the listening to the thumps of the bags. I remember in those days, the punch bags were sailors' kit bags stuffed with sawdust, packed tightly with sawdust, and you could hear the thumping. They were hung by a piece of rope from rafters, and these guys were trying to make the grade as boxers. But you know, that didn't matter for my dad. It didn't matter if you didn't want to box, or you didn't want to be a champion, or you didn't have any great ability. As long as you were coming along, keeping fit and joining in, that was important.
I think all this stuff, the YouTubers, the UFC guys who've try to transfer to boxing, in effect the guys who are not boxers, who are now demanding huge fees and television rights and so on because of their appearance in a boxing ring, wearing boxing gloves and trying to be boxers, I think that has distilled the sport, oh, big style. I think, you know, and I think what's happened is that in the days when, you know, managers, promoters, coaches, boxers were real boxing people. They lived the sport, you know, they lived for it. Now all that's changed because while in the great old days, you were boxing every other month. And that's why they racked up huge numbers of fights, Sugar Ray Robinson and all the Joe Louis and all these guys. They were boxing every other month, sometimes every other week. I looked at a guy, Freddie Tennant, who was from my hometown in Dundee, who was a flyweight boxer, who gave his all. He was a crowd pleaser, right? So he would box sometimes, I counted up, nine times in a month. Right, and it wasn't unusual where he boxed three successive nights. He would box nine times in a fortnight. He would box 14 times in 3 weeks. He had 196 fights. It's incredible. Of course, you wouldn't get that now. I wonder how long people are going to buy into boxing, or are they going to say, oh, not another fight that we know is going to, you know, it's going to, how it's going to turn out, or not another kind of press conference where, you know, somebody's upturning tables or shouting or sticking the head on somebody. We don't need that in boxing. Boxing should be clean of all that. It should be full of integrity and authenticity. And it's not at the moment. The kind of atmosphere in which I grew up is hugely different to what it is now. However, we must never forget that there are underprivileged people still in our society. I mean, if you look at the place we're sitting in today in Aberdeen, at the height of the Aberdeen, or the North Sea oil industry, Aberdeen was awash with money. Despite that, at that very time, there were seven areas of deprivation. in Aberdeen. If officially areas of deprivation, and people were saying, how could it be so? But it's always been like that. You know, we always talk about, oh, we must level up, bring the poor people up into line with the rich. But as soon as you do that, then the other lot go higher. So that gap is widening year after year. We had to recognize that. And so the guys who come to the boxing clubs, when I went, you wore a white vest and a pair of shorts. And if you were lucky, as I progressed, I got a pair of boxing boots. But most of the guys didn't. They just came in plimsolls and they just got stuck in and enjoyed it. Well, my kind of description of a champion is anyone who gives back to life, you know, in any walk of life, who gives something of themselves. Right, so we talk about champions, obviously, because we're in the sport of champions. But a champion for me are people like the guys who open up the boxing clubs to help others. Because if the boxing club didn't exist, 30, 40 kids and young adults and all kinds of people would not have a place to come and keep fit and be part of something and be, you know, you'd be doing something meaningful. They wouldn't have that. Now, can you imagine right across the country, right across the world, if we didn't have those people to do that kind of stuff free of charge, volunteering and not making anything out of it, not looking for anything out of it other than perhaps to discover, a champion here and there. But for me, those guys are the champions. So I would rather have people in all walks of life, people who give, charity workers. You know, these people who go are unsung heroes. These people who do stuff don't want any kind of, they don't want any recompense. They don't want any glory. They don't want any recognition, but they give to others, charity workers, boxing club people. All these men and women are champions. So for me, a champion person is more important than a champion boxer or a champion sprinter or a champion sportsman or woman. These are the champions in my society. I'm not looking for praise or glory or publicity or anything like that. I mean, I'm just past that stage, you know. But what I'm looking for now is for people, this is what I'm getting, people who are buying into what I'm saying, right, and my teaching. And I always tell young boxers the reason why I'm telling them to do this and not that. And if you help explain the why we're doing this is because, then I think they will kind of take it on. At least that's what I hope. And the other thing is, the message that I'm trying to get over to people, and this is again happening, you know, nothing has been planned. Nothing's been planned. I start getting people think, wow, you're 78. This has inspired me. I'm 53. I used to be a boxer. Now I'm going back to the gym. One guy got in touch with me. He said, I used to box when I was young. And he said, when I saw you and thought, I think he said he was 62. He said, I phoned up my two pals who used to go to the boxing club decades ago and said, have you seen this guy on Instagram or TikTok? And I say, yeah. Well, why don't we go back to the gym? And I tell people, go and knock on the door, say to the gym, I want to join. I'd be very, very surprised if a gym, and I'm talking about, when I say a gym, I'm not talking about a private gym where you have to pay. I'm talking about an amateur boxing club where you have to pay £3 or whatever, or a fiver. They're not going to turn you away. Well, I think I've proved that it's never too late to find something in your life that suits you and in which you'll be comfortable, right? Now, it might be fitness. It might be walking around the block three times. It might be going out for half an hour in one direction, walking back for half an hour in the other direction towards home. And that, you know, it, that does for your fitness, a couple of two, three times a week. See, what I'm very conscious of now, everybody speaks about mental health issues. And really, truthfully, I've never really bought into a lot of that. But I do recognise, with the pressures of life today and the pressures that people put on themselves, a release is required. So the release could be the gym, it could be the swimming pool. My wife is 71 and swims every day. It could be walking, it could be hill walking. Anything that keeps the pulse racing, the heartbeat going. I know, we've read studies that show that if you do, for example, 20 minutes of exercise every day, you could reduce the chance of you dying early by between 35 and 42%. So why wouldn't you do it? Now, my dad was lame. He had a limp, he had one leg shorter than the other through a football accident before there were antibiotics. Why not? My dad didn't do any training in the gym, but my dad walked everywhere, right? Even to the age of his mid-90s, and he had a dog, and we calculated, well, what's your route, Dad? He said, well, I'll go up here, I'll do this. We calculated he walked 4 miles every day. He was 95, 96. You don't need a gym. I say that. Don't need a gym. If you've got a car park, if you've got a field, if you've got a back garden, you could train, you could shadow box, you could do exercises. 20 minutes, can you imagine? Out of your life, out of your day. 20 minutes out of the day will help you live longer. That's the bottom line, right? It's simple as that. And the studies have proven that.
So a massive thank you to Huel. You guys know I've been using Huel for the past few years. These guys are absolutely amazing for me. I'm drinking Huel Black Edition that has 35 grams of protein, 26 vitamins and minerals, and slow-release carbs. The reason I choose Black Edition is because I lead a very, very busy life, but also I want to break world records in sports. I want to get stronger and build muscle. So this has a little bit more protein than the standard stuff. But they have an amazing range. If you want to find out more, head to the link in the description. But guys, don't just take my word for it. People like the hardest geezer ran across the whole length of Africa using this stuff. And then there's the busy people who are entrepreneurs and successful people who just use this to save time and get nutritionally complete meals. So if you want to find out more, go to the link in the description. But I just want to say a massive thank you, as always, to Huel. I cannot recommend them enough. And they help make these documentaries possible.